Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this last edition, this pregame edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast on this 1st of June 2017, as we look forward to a game one of the NBA Finals. It is finally here after about 6 months. I mean, think about this. When is the last time we saw a meaningful playoff game? Think about that for a second. Was it, what, Game 7, Wizards-Celtics? I mean, think about that. Game 1, Spurs, Spurs-Warriors. So, we've been going on. I mean, forget about the fact that these both series were over, both conference finals were over quickly. We haven't seen meaningful basketball in a long time. But that will change in about roughly 2.5 hours as the Cavaliers will square off against the Warriors. The Warriors, of course, the hosts. We host games 1 and 2 from the Oracle. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can follow me on Twitter at William Gerald, or follow me on Twitter or follow me on Instagram at Rillo Gerald Quinn. 347-215-6180. Decided to go with the hat. Without the hat, my forehead on Facebook Live is just too big, so I had to go with the hat. That's Facebook's fault. I don't have a big forehead, but that's Facebook's fault. But again, we are finally here at the NBA Finals, and I'm tired of all the hype. I'm tired of all the analysis. I'm tired of the numbers. I'm ready for basketball. It's been, you know, the NBA has to look into in the future seriously. When these series end early, of pushing the finals up. Like, what would have stopped the NBA from playing this, from starting this on Tuesday? Like, I mean, come on. Last Thursday? Well, no, the Celtics series was going on. No, or last Thursday. You can push up the finals. Why can't you push up the finals? I don't understand that. I mean, these teams haven't played forever. So finally, the finals are here. Cleveland going in as one of the, I have to say, probably the biggest underdog since the 2004 Pistons. I think there are people who actually believe that Golden State is going to sweep Cleveland. Like that's actually on the table in certain people's eyes. I've seen a lot of Golden State in 5, Golden State in 6. I will give you my prediction towards the end of the show. I pretty much have been going. Yeah, I mean, I think you know if you've been watching, following my tweets, or following some of the stuff I've been saying on Facebook. I think you pretty much know which direction I'm going in. I kind of haven't changed that direction, but I will give my prediction at the end of the program. When you look at this series, obviously the room for error for Cleveland is very small. I keep hearing, you know. Those people who are basement for Cleveland, I keep hearing them say, well, they've beaten this team before. They beat them last year. Correction, they haven't beaten this team before. This is not the same Golden State team we saw last year. There's a 7-foot guy with a jump shot and a crossover. What's this? Durant. Oh, yeah, that guy. He was the guy who was playing for Oklahoma City last year. He's on their team now, okay? There's no Harrison Barnes who – Harrison Barnes, people fail to realize. Harrison Barnes, you know where Harrison Barnes shot the last 3 games of that series? He was 5 for 32. That's how bad Harrison Barnes was the last 3 games of the finals. 5 for 32. Okay. He's gone. He's in Dallas now. So this is a completely different Golden State team. This is, to me, a much better Golden State team. This is a Golden State team that is 27-1 in the last 28 games. That one loss coming at a meaningless home loss to Utah back in April when Utah was playing for a home court advantage in the playoff against the Clippers, and Golden State wasn't playing for anything. That's the only reason Golden State lost that game. So I'm looking at this series, and to me, the question is, what can Cleveland defend Golden State? Last year, the losing scores, you know, those four games that Golden State lost against Cleveland, their losing scores were 90, 79, 101, and 97. Those were the losing scores. Think about that. 90, 97, 101, and 79. With Game 7, they held Golden State to 79 points in Game 7, 38% shooting. And the last, I don't think Golden State scored unless had a field goal the last 4 minutes. Now, can they reach back and play that level of defense this year? Because Golden State is one of the great offensive teams of all time. You are not going to win a shootout, a 3-point contest, or up and down shootout with Golden State. I think Cleveland, LeBron, they have to control the pace of the game. They have to turn this. They almost have to dirty up the game. And again, that's going to be hard for Cleveland because Cleveland likes to play with pace and flow. Cleveland likes to play a pretty game of basketball as well. You know, Cleveland, you're not going to ever mistake Cleveland for the 94 Knicks, okay, or the 88 Pistons. They're going to have to muck up the game like they did last year in that Game 7. That game was a possession game. That game was a physical game. That game, they have to pound Golden State on the offensive boards. I think Golden State, and again, this year, I think Golden State is a better rebounding team than what they were last year. They're going to turn this game into a slugfest, a dogfight, if they want to win. So I'm looking at that, and I'm looking at the standpoint of how Cleveland wins this series. Obviously, LeBron has to be out of this world. Everybody kind of forgets what, you know, we got wrapped up in what happened after 3-1. But the reason why Cleveland was down 3-1 was because LeBron wasn't playing well. I mean, let's be honest with you. LeBron, the first four games of that series, LeBron had one good game. He had one good game, one average game, and two mediocre games. One good game, one average game, and two mediocre games. That's why they were down 3-1 in that series. So for this particular series, LeBron cannot have one. I don't think he can afford to have one bad game this series. And I think this is a borderline. This game one will tell you a lot about this series. Cleveland needs to win game one. I think Golden State will be ripe for the picking. I think the layoff hurts Golden State while it helps Cleveland. Cleveland has some older guys. A fresh LeBron is always dangerous and lethal. I think Golden State is a rhythm-type team. I don't think they need the rest. Maybe you want to say Iguodala or Pachulia, but, you know, those guys are role players. Golden State is a flow team. They're a rhythm team. This rest, to me, I expect it will take at least a half, maybe even into the third quarter, before Golden State finds their rhythm. Cleveland needs to hit them in the mouth right away, jump out, 10-15-point lead, put some doubts in Golden State's mind. Make Mike Brown coach. I mean, Mike Brown right now has the greatest job in sports right now. I mean, he's coaching. What, like, is he even calling any plays? Which leads to, and I haven't heard anything yet, I don't think Steve Kerr is going to coach in this game. Maybe my prediction was wrong. I don't think Steve Kerr will be on the sideline coaching this game. I do think you will see Steve Kerr on the sideline before this series is over. Depending on how the series is going. If this series is a walk away, a sweep, or a five game beat down for Golden State, you'll probably be like, all right, you know what, we're much better. They don't need me. If this series is tight, 2-2, 3-3, game 7, you will see Steve Kerr. Because he's already, listen, and again, that I I've never had back surgery. I can't even imagine what kind of pain Steve Kerr is in. But the bottom line is he traveled to San Antonio. He's in the locker room. Okay, he's at the practices, but he's feeling a little bit better. It can't be all, you know, it can't be all doom and gloom for Steve Kerr physically if he's able to do some of the things that we've seen him do over the course of the last couple of weeks. But again, that Mike Brad, there are a couple of factors. The biggest thing Cleveland has going for him, other than LeBron James, is Draymond Green. And if I'm Cleveland internally, I'm saying I'm doing whatever I have to do to set Draymond Green off. Seriously. I mean, that changed the course. That was the finals last year. The Draymond Green suspension changed the course of the finals. You can say what you want. You can say, well, he was there games 6 and 7. They still lost. The bottom line is they were up 3-1, having won game 4 in Cleveland. We're going back home for the clincher. And you can't tell me any different that if he plays in that game, it's not Golden State in 5. You cannot sell me on anything different. That changed the complexion of that series. It put life back into the Cleveland Cavaliers. They won't admit it, but that's, you know, sometimes it doesn't take a lot to change a series, okay? But that changed the course of that series. And to me, Draymond Green, you know, for all the talk about maturity, I know he doesn't have as many technicals or flagrants. You can still get to Draymond Green. He is still liable. You can still set him off. Listen, he goes crazy when he gets fouled, when he gets the calls. When things are going right, he goes crazy. I mean, this guy's a ticking time bomb waiting to happen. So to me, if I'm the Cleveland, I'm inside that locker room. That's part of my strategy. I'm going to do whatever I have to do to set him off. Now, you're not going to do something like send Dante Jones in the game, something obvious. Like, Dante Jones will never see the floor in the series unless it's some blowouts. But that's one of my goals, if I'm Cleveland, to set Draymond Green off. 347-215-6180 is your call number. Facebook Live, 70 Quinn Sports Podcast. As we discuss the NBA's finals, which will be coming up in about roughly two hours and some change. Game 1 at Oracle. Golden State seeking a second title in 3 years. Cleveland seeking a repeat title. LeBron James seeking his 4th championship. When we return, we're going to shift gears a bit. We're going to do a lot of heavy finals. We're going to shift gears a bit to probably the biggest non-final story going right now. That's coming up in much, much more on this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. Back to this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. As we discuss the world of sports, this pregame NBA Finals edition of the podcast. Thanks to Craig Smith for providing us with the opening and the music. I don't know what he titled it. I titled it Craig. You know, keep it simple. So thanks to him. Again, that's a hot beat. That's a hot beat, and certainly deserving of the opening sounds of this particular program. Tiger Woods, of course, earlier this week, as a matter of fact, Memorial Day, comes out that he, again, pulled over for a DUI, non-alcohol related. Apparently, he, you know, took too many painkillers. And, again, the mugshot it was one of the worst mugshots, celebrity mugshots that you ever see. I mean, Tiger, he looked like he was drunk, or he looked like he was, you know, like he had some drugs in his system. I mean, he looked horrible. And to me, I'm looking at this, and I'm saying that there was a time where this guy was the most famous, dynamic, was the number one athlete in the world by far. ESPN just came out with a list of most powerful athletes, most popular. They combine endorsements with Twitter followers and Instagram followers, those type of analytics. And LeBron was number two, and we'll say Messi. I think Messi was number one. I know LeBron was two. Kevin Durant was eight. Roger Federer was four. I want to say Messi was number one. But anyway, there was a point in time, 10 years ago, where it was Tiger Woods and everybody else. Like, literally, Tiger Woods, was the most famous athlete in the world, especially with a retired Michael Jordan. And to see this fall of an icon, of a guy who was on his way to becoming by far and away the greatest golfer in history. It wasn't a matter of if he was going to break Jack Nicklaus's record, It was a matter of when by how many. I mean, forget about 18 majors. Is he going to get 22, 25, 30? And now it's not even about golf. It's about Tiger. It's about, can Tiger even get his life in order? Can Tiger get his life straight? Forget about golf when it comes to Tiger Woods right now. Putting aside the four back surgeries, which certainly contributed to the reason of why he's taking painkillers. But can this man get his life in order? Because right now he is a walking train wreck. I don't even care about if he ever steps on the course again. And to me, his golf, first of all, listen, the stretch he had from 1997 to 2008, was the most dominant stretch in the history of golf, one of the most dominant stretches any athlete has ever had in the history of sports. He was so by far the best golfer that, the gap between him and the number two guy would have been probably the gap between the number two guy and the number 150th guy. That's how big the gap was. There was nobody that was approaching him. You weren't comparing him to other golfers. You were comparing him to other athletes. That's Roger Federer, Kobe Bryant, guys who were prominent at that time when he was winning all those majors. So it's not about his golfing legacy. You don't want Tiger to be. You don't want Tiger to end up like OJ, basically. He's not going to kill anybody. I'm not going to go that extreme, but you don't want to remember him more for what happened off the golf course versus what happened on the golf course. And right now he's getting real close to being remembered for post dominance, post golf career. Even though he's still an active golfer, versus what he did in his golfing career, he's getting real close to that right now, and it's sad to see. It really is. So, I say this about Kanye West. I'll say this about Tiger Woods. Get your life straight. Just get your life in order. Forget about golf. Forget about the money. Forget about the endorsements. Tiger Woods has plenty of money. Get your life in order. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of the Sir Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast, this NBA Finals edition. We'll be right back. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of Sir Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. Got a couple of other sporting notes. The Stanley Cup, you know, unless Nashville can pull two games out of their ass, basically, this series is over. Unless this gets to 2-2 somehow. I don't think I've ever seen a Stanley Cup in where one team was clearly outplaying the other, but still find themselves down 2-0. Excuse me. Nashville has outshot Pittsburgh. They've out-hit Pittsburgh. They've, you know, there was a stretch in game one where Pittsburgh went 32 minutes without a shot. Pittsburgh had 12 shots in the game and scored 5 goals. Like, it's just, this stuff, you just can't write this stuff. You know, last night, Nashville has a 5-on-3 power play and can't convert. Pittsburgh is the more talented team. They're the deeper team. But you thought Nashville would have an edge in goalies. You thought Nashville would have a defensive edge. They're more physical team. But their goaltender has been horrible. Murray has clearly been the dominant goaltender. And again, Pittsburgh, listen, I like Pittsburgh. Call me biased because I'm a Pittsburgh fan. But the bottom line is, and we've seen this in the finals, we've seen this in the finals, especially the finals, the finals of the NBA and Stanley Cup. Experience counts. So when you first get to the finals, there's just something about not being there and not being there. And Pittsburgh has so much more experience. I mean, this is their second straight finals appearance. They have guys who, you know, Crosby and Malkin. This is their fourth finals for those two guys. Remember, they went back-to-back years in 08, 09, beat Detroit and, you know, lost to Detroit first in 08, beat Detroit in game 7 in 09. So these guys have a ton of playoff experience, a ton of Stanley Cup experience. And again, especially for the Stanley Cup, not too many guys get the opportunity to get there in the NHL. It makes a difference. And clearly, Pittsburgh, you know, their experience and their depth, they're so deep. Again, they don't – Malkin and Crosby don't have to play great for Pittsburgh to win. That's the thing about Pittsburgh. Their best players don't have to be great in order for them to win. They have so much depth. I mean, as a matter of fact, the guy who's going to win – if I were given a Conn Smythe Award for playoff MVP, it would have to be this Schultz guy that has, like, 21 goals. I'm going to say Schultz or not Hornquist. Schultz or Hornquist. The guy who had, he has like 21 goals. It's either Schultz. Malkin has the most points, so Malkin probably will win it. But the guy who has been the most dynamic player for Pittsburgh has been Schultz, this rookie, who leads the NHL in goals over the course of in the postseason. He's been their most dynamic player, the leading goal scorer. You know, Phil Kessel was Toronto's best player last year. He's on Pittsburgh this year. He's an afterthought. He's a role player on Pittsburgh, you know. So they're just too deep for Nashville, too much offensive firepower, and I expect that this series will be, it could be a sweep. It will go no more than 5 games. Pittsburgh will get, maybe Nashville gets game 3. Pittsburgh, but they're not beating Pittsburgh twice in games 3 and 4. I know Nashville's home crowd is tremendous, is great, but Pittsburgh will get one of these next games and probably wrap it up in game 5 back at Pittsburgh. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. When we return, I think I can somewhat relate to the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'll tell you why. And we'll continue breaking down the NBA Finals. I will have my prediction and much, much more on this latest edition of the Cyril Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. little new tune there. That had like a Doobie Brothers sound to it. You might have to replay that. I haven't played that in a while. That had a little. Well, that's the Doobie Brothers. That's taking it back. For my younger audience, don't even forget about it. For my audience that's not at least 40, 30 and under, just forget about what I just said. So when I first started playing basketball, my first year, 347-215-6180, by the way, is the call number. It's on this latest edition of the Cyril Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. Thanks for joining me, especially to my Facebook audience out there. When I first started playing basketball, I played in high school, played a semester in college. Don't even ask why I only played a semester. But anyway, I played organized basketball, probably started in sixth grade. So Westport Recreation League, CA Rawls was the name of our team. We had a good team. We had a good season. We made it to the championship. We beat the number two seed in the semifinals. We had, again, a pretty good team. Yours truly was just tall with no coordination. This is my first year playing basketball. I was tall. I had zero coordination. I couldn't walk and chew gum. So the team we were playing in the championship was called Supreme Deli. Best team. They were like Golden State, okay? They had four star players. Now think about it. We're 11, 12 years old. They had a kid who was about 6'2", playing center. They had two great point guards, and they had a swing man who was about 5'11", 6 foot. And you're thinking to yourselves, like, when they're making up these teams, there wasn't a draft. Again, shout out to my man Lenny Butler for putting me on to it. He helped. That's my dude. He turned me on to basketball as far as from that standpoint. Got me in the league. Encouraged me. So shout out to him. But you know, I should basically take my shout out for him putting that team together. They were a dream team. And when we got to the championship, we were hyped. Like, yeah, we in a championship. We're gonna win. We're gonna do it. We got smashed. To a point, it was so bad that I almost got a technical foul. That's how bad we got beat. I shot an air ball and a three-pointer, and I cried. I didn't cry after the game. It was so bad that I cried the morning after. That's how bad it was. That's how bad we got beat. It was like a delayed cry. So I say this to say that I kind of understand what Cleveland might be going through, saying that, it's not fair. They have four all-stars. They have four all-NBA types, all-NBA players. Four guys who, injury withstanding, will probably end up in the Hall of Fame. It's not fair. How is this possible? And they all get along. They all play well together. They have great chemistry. There's no Laker 2004 situation where, you know, it's going to blow up because of egos. So I can understand why the rest of the NBA right now is just saying, we got to deal with this for the next 3 to 4 years. Now, again, I'm not dating a Kardashian. I don't have millions of dollars in my bank account. But I can understand a little bit what the Cleveland Cavaliers are going through right now. Just a little bit. 347-215-6180 is your call number as we get ready for a game one of the NBA Finals. It is finally here. Of course, they're without, and again, for whatever reason, controversy follows one LeBron James, even when it's not his fault. Of course, you heard about the situation that happened with his house, just some ignorant BS. And I thought that, and I said this, I posted this on Facebook yesterday. I thought that he handled it as well as you could possibly handle a situation, considering the circumstances, and considering that it's, you know, right the eve of the NBA Finals, like, you know, one of the biggest sporting events in the calendar year, the sporting event right now in terms of worldwide. Everybody will be watching these NBA Finals. I expect these ratings to be record setting, especially if it goes 6 or 7. And he has to deal with, you know, just racial, you know, he has to deal with, you know, some racist BS. And again, how he handled it was, you can't handle a situation any better. And I just feel like that, you know, more athletes, and it shouldn't take this type of situation for anybody. I'm not talking about him, as far as, because we know what he said, you know, what he said last year at the ESPYs in terms of what he speaks about in terms of social issues and what have you. You saw what he did in Miami with Trayvon Martin, along with Chris Bosh and the other Heat members with the hoods. So he's been, you know, front and center in terms of racial issues. But you wish more athletes would step forward and talk more about what's going on and what's happening out there. Because you look in the newspapers, it's something going on every day. I mean, it really is. It's something going on every day. And, again, LeBron James, he gets it. This is the thing about, you have to respect where you love or hate LeBron. He gets it. He gets that he's one of the most maybe the most popular athlete in the world. He gets that he's a role model. He gets that his words count. And what he says counts. And I respect that about him. You know, that wasn't a scripted trying to win the popular vote, trying to, you know, improve my Q rating type statement. That was from the heart. It was genuine. It was right on time. It was again, you can't handle a situation any better than LeBron James handled that situation and how he spoke and articulated what he said in that press conference amidst the NBA Finals. Because he could have said nothing. He absolutely could have not even addressed it. He could have just said, you know, I'm not going to talk about this. This is a private matter. This is between me and my family. He could have not said anything. 347-215-6180 is your call number. To my Facebook audience, we have lost our connection. So we're going to go Facebook left for the next 13, 14 minutes of the program, but I'm certain you can catch the first 30 minutes of the program on Facebook. I apologize for the lack of a connection. I had a bad connection there, but, you know, it's okay. We still had about 25 to 30 minutes that we went live on Facebook. Again, this is a series that everybody's been waiting for basically ever since last season ended. And especially went to another level when Kevin Durant signed with Golden State on the 4th of July. It was it was the 4th of July weekend. That Monday when he announced that he was signing with Golden State, leaving OKC, you know, and not signing with Golden State, with OKC or Boston. Boston was the second contender, I believe, after Golden State. And ever since then, we've been looking forward to this matchup. Again, first time in NBA history that the same three teams have met for the title. Again, it's amazing to me, looking back at the 80s, that the Lakers and Celtics never met three straight years. It's remarkable. You would think that how dominant those two teams were, that it would be impossible for those teams not to meet in back-to-back in three straight years. I mean, they met. Again, I mentioned this before, you know, Lakers and, you know, the Celtics were in four straight finals from 85, from 84 to 87. And the Lakers were in four straight finals from 82 to 85. So that neither one of those teams met three straight years, Golden State, again, and Cleveland. And again, there's no end in sight to this. Like, when this series is over, they're going to be the clear favorites to return back to the finals in 2018. Matter of fact, Golden State is already a prohibitive favorite to win the championship next year over the rest of the NBA field. That's how dominant people think that this team is going to become. And that's why you have a lot of people, where it's Doc Rivers speaking out about this team, because everybody, listen, when you get, like, it's hard to get one great player on a team, okay? It's hard for teams to find one franchise player, superstar, all-star, to get one. To get two of those guys, okay, you have something. You have something. To get three of those guys, you know, forget about it. Four, it's like, that's a video game. I mean, like, let's be honest, that's a video game. So I understand why people hate Golden State. Outside of Golden State, outside the city of San Francisco, I understand, you know, why you may think it's not fair. But the flip side to this is they play a beautiful brand of basketball. Whether you love them, hate them, whether you're going to root for them or not, they play a beautiful brand of basketball. They share the ball. They share the ball. They, you know, they shoot the ball. They defend. They do all the little things, and they play, again, those four guys play so well to just fit perfectly together. And I understand Klay Thompson has kind of been the odd man out, and I'll be interested to see what his future lies, you know, moving forward. I think this time next year, Klay Thompson's going to be on the trading block. I really do. You've already heard rumors that Durant is willing to take less money to keep Iguodala and Livingston. Steph is going to get the Supermax. Klay Thompson, I think, will be the odd man out. You know, Draymond Green will eventually get his Supermax, will eventually get another max deal. You know, Durant is a guy who's making so much money off the court that he can afford to take $3 or $4 million less per year to keep other guys. It's not going to hurt him. He's making so much money off the court, it's ridiculous. I mean, I think the guy is making like $34 million in terms of endorsements. But again, you look at this matchup, and again, there are a couple of this, and the odds are against Cleveland. Let's be honest. I mean, even you could be the most staunch Cleveland fan. You could be a Cleveland fan since 1960. The odds are against Cleveland in this series in a big way. But what they have going for them, they have two major things that they're going to have to lean on. One, the obvious, is LeBron James. Two, again, the fact that Draymond Green can be set off. And three, I think Mike Brown. I mean, listen, Mike Brown, nice guy, great guy, you know, nice person. Led a team to the NBA Finals in 2007, so he's not a completely incompetent coach. Like, he's not Byron Scott, but you know. Mike Brown is not Steve Kerr. And I just wonder if these games are close down the stretch, the rotation, things of that nature. I wonder how will Mike Brown deal with close and late game situations. Now, in order for that to be a factor, these games have to be close and late in the fourth quarter. Because if Golden State keeps rolling as they have been, then they're going to make Mike Brown, again, have Mike Brown just basically doing a Phil Jackson and sitting with his legs crossed. But if you're Cleveland, you have to jump out in game one and hit Golden State in the mouth. You cannot mess around. It sounds crazy to say this, but this is a borderline must win for Cleveland. I think the time off will hurt Golden State. You saw it hurt them in that San Antonio series, game one, when San Antonio jumped out and with the 23-point lead. And then, of course, unfortunately lost Kawhi Leonard in that second quarter or in the third quarter. I'm looking at this series. And, you know, it is a classic case of best team versus best player. And we've seen, you know, years where there was a string of years in the NBA history where the best player always won, where it was Magic, Bird, Jordan. You know, occasionally, you know, the Pistons kind of disrupted that a bit. Houston, you know, had Hakeem was the best player when Jordan was away. He won 2 years ago. Not 2 years ago, but he won back-to-back years in 94, 95. And then occasionally you'll have a situation where the best team is too much for the best player. 2008, Celtics, Lakers, Kobe, best player in the league, Celtics, best team. 2004, Shaq or Kobe, which one was the best player? Detroit, the more complete team, you know. San Antonio, a couple years ago, LeBron, the best player, clearly, 2014. But San Antonio, the better team. This is a situation where clearly Golden State is the best team. Clearly. I mean, you can make an argument that without Kevin Durant and with had they returned everybody from last year that they are a better team than Cleveland. But this year, it's not even this year, right? And as we enter these finals less than 2 hours away, Golden State is the better team. Make no mistake about it. And by all accounts, Golden State absolutely should win this series. But Cleveland has that dude. And again, love or hate him, that dude will at worst, to me, go down as probably the second greatest basketball player of all time. And that dude has the ability to wreck a series single-handedly. But ultimately, to me, this comes down to simple math as far as I'm concerned. Golden State plus Kevin Durant minus Harrison Barnes minus Andrew Bogut plus JaVale McGee plus a healthy Steph Curry equals a win in six games. So I'll take Golden State in six. I think this will be a competitive series. I think that Golden State is, again, everybody's on a mission. I mean, LeBron's on a mission. Kyrie's on a mission. But remember, Golden State lost a brutal, brutal series last year. That was the toughest finals loss in NBA history based on the fact that they were up three games. No team had ever blew a 3-1 lead. Steph Curry, again, I mentioned this in my last podcast. Quietly in this postseason, Steph Curry has returned to being a dominant player. The Steph Curry you saw in last year's finals will not resemble the Steph Curry coming into this year's finals. He's just not the same player. He is physically, mentally, he's fresh. Golden State, you know, he's not banged up. Remember, that OKC chip, that OKC series took some out of Golden State. I mean, that was a physical series. That was an emotionally draining series. OKC should have beat Golden State last year. Golden State, you know, everybody talks about how fresh Cleveland is. Golden State is coming in fresh as well. And I think both of these teams have another gear to go to because I don't think the competition forced them to play their best. But to me, Golden State's A game, there's no A game in the league. Even Cleveland, that can equate to what Golden State can do when they are clicking on all cylinders. I like Golden State in six. I am rooting for a Cleveland victory in game one because Cleveland cannot mess around early on in the series. They cannot sit up there and wait till game three to figure it out. If they're down 2-0, they will be facing a sweep. I'm telling you that right now. Matter of fact, I'll come out and say this. If it's 2-0, Golden State will sweep Cleveland. I don't think it will be 2-0, but if it is 2-0 Golden State, they will sweep Cleveland, period. They cannot mess around with it. They cannot, you know, mess around. LeBron James cannot have three bad games in this series. He can't. He may barely afford one bad game. He cannot have three bad games in this series like he had in last year's finals. So I like Golden State in six games. I think it'll be an entertaining series. I don't think it'll be a classic. I don't think it'll be a classic, but I think we will get a competitive and somewhat entertaining series. Looking forward to it. Enjoy game one. I will see you next time on this latest edition of Cyril Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. So long.